Dear God, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for everything that you have given us in Christ, Lord. We thank you for the grace that you have extended to us, Lord. We thank you so much for your choosing and selecting of us, Lord. We thank you for the Holy Spirit constantly working in our lives, Lord, that you are very much involved in every aspect of our life. And sometimes we don't see it. Sometimes we don't understand it, Lord. Many times we forget it. But may we today, as we reflect upon your will, may we just really reflect upon your sovereign control over everything, how you work all things according to the counsel of your will. Lord, you work everything through and through for your purposes and your plans, Lord. And you're the one who declares the end from the beginning. And I pray that we might just submit to this wonderful truth today as we look into these things. Please bless our time in your word and bless our time in the study through this book. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to open up with a psalm this morning. I was reading this morning, just thinking about the stuff that's kind of going on in the Middle East and everything that's going down. And keeping in mind God's sovereign will over all things. So we're going to be talking about God's will and different aspects of God's will today. And I think that this is a great psalm to open up in discussion about this. So this is Psalm 75. We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks for your name is near. We recount your wondrous deeds. At the set time I appoint, I will judge with equity. When the earth totters and all its inhabitants, it is I who keep steady its pillars. I say to the boastful, do not boast, and to the wicked, do not lift up your horn. Do not lift up your horn on high, or speak with haughty neck. For not from the east or from the west, and not from the wilderness comes lifting up, but it is God who executes judgment, putting down one and lifting up another. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup with foaming wine, well mixed, and he pours out from it, and all the wicked of the earth shall drain it down to the dregs. But I will declare it forever. I will sing praise to God of God of Jacob. All the horns of the wicked I will cut off, but the horns of the righteous shall be lifted up. I think that many times we think that rulers lift up and crush other rulers and bring down other people. Many times we think that that is all these random things that happen that bring about the world in which we're in. But today we're going to be talking about God's will over all things. We're going to see that as this psalm recounts, that it's not from the east or from the west that come lifting up. It is not from the wilderness, but it is God who executes judgment, putting down one and lifting up another. We're going to absolutely see that God is in control over all things. We're going to see that nothing can thwart his plan, but we're going to see that there is aspects of his will that we are called to carry out and things in which his will that we can know and can be perceived. So if you open your books with me today, we're going to be starting on page 171 and talking about God's will and guidance. God's will and guidance. So God's will and guidance is a topic of discussion and something that's often highlighted among which age group? Which age group talks a lot about God's will?
College age?
Okay, why college age?
A lot of decisions to be made,
absolutely. So how many of you guys, when you were maybe high school or college, were wondering what God's will is for your life? How many of you guys, when you're dating somewhere, wondering, does God really want me to marry this person? I mean, right? We're constantly trying to figure out, like, what is God's will? And, like, somehow that we can mess up everything, too. Like, but it's important. It is a very important discussion. I love whenever graduating seniors are going off, Abby and I love to give them a book by Kevin DeYoung that's called Just Do Something. And it's Discerning God's Will for Your Life. And he walks through just some practical steps inside that book of discerning God's will for your life. And it's a really important discussion for us just to understand. One, I want you to know firsthand that that you can never mess up God's ultimate plan over all things. that God is the one who is working all things in accordance to the counsel of his will. Like, you can't overthrow his kingdom. You can't mess up his plans. You can't do that. But you can go against what his will is for your life. So we're going to talk about the distinguishing natures between God's sovereign will and his will of his command. So in God's sovereignty, he has a plan that covers all aspects of creation and time. And he also has a commanded will that he legislates to his people. So let's look at a sovereign will first there in your book. It says it underneath section 1A1. It says, the meaning of God's will, God's sovereign will. God's sovereign will involves his ultimate, complete control over everything. Nothing happens that is not in God's plan. History is really the unfolding of God's purposes, which happen exactly as he planned. Okay, so God's sovereign will. When we say it must have been part of God's sovereign plan, what we understand is that we see it in the unfolding of history. We see it in the unfolding of things that are happening. We see it's this ultimate, complete control over everything. Remember when we talked about the attributes of God and we said God is sovereign, what did we mean by that when we say that God is sovereign? Cameron?
Okay, his ultimate power and authority.
He has ultimate power and authority, yes. He is the king. It's not like there's another authority over God that he is ever having to submit to. No, he is the authority. He is the one who rules on high. He is the one who accomplishes his purpose. He is the one who has set forth from the beginning what is going to happen in the end. This is who our God is. And his sovereign will, we see in certain verses that it extends to all things. And as he planned, it's going to happen. Look there at Isaiah 14:24. It says, surely just as I have intended, so it has happened. And just as I have planned, so it will stand. We see also in Ephesians 1:11, it says, also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. So he works all things after the counsel of his will. What encouragement does this give you as a Christian?
You don't have to fear the world's seeming power and control over us.
Absolutely, absolutely. You think about people who, many times they have the news on so often, and they're just looking at events going on, and they're like, wow, like what's going to happen next? And everything's falling apart and everything's going well, and they're constantly trying to figure out what's next, and people are trying to perceive around the corner of what's going to happen and thinking that we can determine the future. But it's important to notice that, as they stated here, history is really the unfolding of God's purposes, which happen exactly as he planned. We don't need to fear what's ahead because we know that God is over all things. We don't need to be afraid of what tomorrow even might bring. There's an economic crash, and your house is on the market, and you're trying to figure out, like, man, is this even going to sell? You don't have to be afraid in that, because God is over all things. You know it's a part of his sovereign will that took place. So many times we're trying to figure out his sovereign will, but we don't know that which Scripture has not revealed, which leads us to his commanded will. Okay, so turn over to the next page. God's commanded will is revealed throughout the Bible as laws or principles. It is the aspects of his will to which men are held accountable. So many times in our younger days, and even when we get older too, we want to know what God's sovereign will is, right? We're like, man, if I could just know what he had up ahead, then I know I could trust him. Well, no, we're called not to understand every aspect of his sovereign will, but we are called to submit to his commanded will. One of my professors I would meet up with in college, Dr. J. Todd, and Dr. Todd would tell me this. He says, everyone's trying to figure out all these aspects of God's will that are unknowable, but God has given us so much of his commanded will that we are to do that we don't even need to worry about all those other things. He has given so much for us to do in Scripture that let's worry about doing his commanded will first. And then when we accomplish all that, then maybe you can start thinking about other things. The reality is you never will accomplish all of this commanded will. We're constantly being sanctified. We're constantly growing into the image of Christ and seeking to obey his commanded will. And his commanded will is revealed throughout the Bible as laws or principles, things in which we are held accountable for, things in which we are to do. So if you turn with me over to Matthew 28, inside Matthew 28:20, this is what we see. It says this, that what we are to do when he is commissioning us, great, giving the great commission and sending out his disciples. He said that they were to teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Okay, so there is things that God has commanded us. There's things that Christ has commanded us that we are to teach others that they should be walking in. And that's God's commanded will. This is God's will for your life, your sanctification. We also see that God gave two great commandments that we are to walk in all things. Matthew 22:37, and he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And also in Matthew 22:39, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So in God's will, in God's commanded will, we need to be concerned about what has God commanded. We maybe don't know what's going to go on with Ukraine and Russia. When we're looking at history and we're seeing it unfolding, are we more concerned about what's going to happen there in God's unfolding of his sovereign plan? Or are we more concerned about what is God calling me to do now? Because God hasn't given us foresight into all things in the future, but he has given us a commanded will that we are to be concerned about, that we are, in fact, going to be held accountable for. So I want to encourage you today, just from a pastoral note, maybe turn off the news and read your Bible more. And understand who God is and who you are, and understand what he has commanded you to, and know that the greatest impact that you can have is not by watching the news, but by living out God's will inside your communities and being his hands and feet there. So take that with you. In section B, it says the nature of God's will, and it says God's sovereign will and commanded will are better understood in the light of their respective characteristics. Does someone want to read section underneath sovereign will inside that box, point 1 through 5 for sovereign will? Okay, go ahead.
Secret known only to God, except as revealed through history or revelation, cannot be resisted or thwarted, encompasses both good and evil, comprehensive, controls all aspects of life, time, and history. The believer is not commanded to know or discover what God has not revealed.
Hmm. Absolutely. And who wants to read through God's commanded will? Go ahead, Ryan.
Revealed in the Bible can be resisted or disobeyed, involves only that which is good and holy. Specific provides principles for living. Believers are exhorted to know, understand, and obey all that God has revealed.
Okay, so we see that God's sovereign will, like I was saying, it's secret, right? It's known only to God, but revealed throughout history and revelation. So in Scripture, when you're working through Scripture, sometimes God says why he did certain things previous in Scripture, in the unfolding of history, and he's revealing what his purpose and his plan is. Also in Revelation, you can see things that are still yet to come in his purposes and plans that that will be unfolded in time. But we notice, as we see, I remember I was in the Ezekiel, in my class in Ezekiel, we were walking through it, and there was another student with me, and we are talking, you know, you're going through Ezekiel 40 and 48, and they're like, is there a temple in the future? Is there not? You know, all these different things. People are walking through this. And she just kept on writing down, all I know is that in the end, Jesus wins. All I know is that in the end, Jesus wins. I don't know, like, all these things. This is so lofty. So many different things are going on. And that's the truth, that God's sovereign will cannot be resisted or thwarted. It cannot be overthrown. It encompasses both good and evil. It accomplishes both good and evil. As one pastor said, he's like, guys, you can't mess this up. God has got this lottery rigged. Like, he's got the whole entire thing rigged. He is working all things out according, he's working all things in according to the counsel of his will. He is comprehensive. He controls all aspects of life, time, and history. As we read there in Psalm 75, it is God who executes judgment. He puts down one and he lifts up another. Do you believe that? Do you see that? And many times we think that, oh man, they stole the election. They stole the election. And they stole it and we gotta get it back. God is the one who puts down one and lifts up another. Say men do cheat and all that. That doesn't overthrow his purpose and his plan. Amen. Actually, it's in accordance with it. Actually, he is working all things in accordance to his will. Amen. Yeah, go ahead, David.
I've run across people that are like, that's not my present. Whichever political side you're on, that's not my present. Yes, he is, because God put him there.
Yeah.
Period.
Absolutely. Yep, we tend, especially in America, have this understanding that, well, I can determine my own path forward. And I'm the one who elect the people who are in, and if they didn't get in and I didn't want them to be in, well, then they're not my president or not my mayor or not my governor. And it's like, no, God is the one who puts people where they're at. And we need to understand that, and we need to submit to that. And so the believer is not commanded to know or to discover what God has not revealed. And as it says inside the Old Testament, that which is revealed to us and our children, we will adhere to, but the secret things belong to the Lord. And we need to really hold those things close to heart, that we don't know everything, but that which he has commanded us, we do need to observe. Because what do we see? That God's commanded will is revealed in the Bible. That it can be resisted or disobeyed. So if God said, this is God's will for your life, your sanctification, what that means is you can live an unsanctified life and go against it. Because it, right after it says, flee, I believe it says, or flee sexual immorality. And it goes through this list that we are not to do that. It says we are to walk in righteousness and not gratify the desires of flesh. Why? Because we can gratify the desires of the flesh. We can go against God's commanded will. But God's commanded will, we need to understand in the battle against sin and the world and everything, that what God gives is good and holy. And that he gives specific principles for living. Many wonder, well, like, how should I be interacting with my neighbor? Well, God lines that out. How should I be in the workplace? Well, God shows that. He might not show you exactly what kind of lollipop you should be buying today, but he does tell you in the manner in which we should be good stewards, the finances in which he's given us. So there's a lot of principles that can be taken and applied to life for living. We see that believers are exhorted to know, understand, and obey all that God has revealed. So if you looked at your check boxes over there, let's walk through some of these verses in understanding God's sovereign will and God's commanded will. So in Philippians 2:13, it said, it is God who is at work in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Is this his sovereign will or his commanded will? Sovereign will. Good job, good job. And why is it his sovereign will?
He's going to get it done.
He's going to get it done. Okay. Both to will and to work for his good pleasure. He's going to do it for his good pleasure. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality. Is this God's sovereign will or commanded will? Commanded will. Good job. That was a really confident answer. I like it. Yeah, because this is what we're to abstain from. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not be bound together with unbelievers. Is this the sovereign will or commanded will? Commanded will. Okay. This one always is so interesting to me, because you'll be in college, and there'll be this guy, be like, man, but she's so pretty, and she's so this or that. And you're like, dude, she ain't saved, so you shouldn't be dating her. And they try to justify all these things, and you're like, no, God's command as well is that you not be bound together with unbelievers. Don't do it.
P.S., that's a secondary application. The primary application, yeah, in there is business.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So getting into partnerships with unsaved people, it applies to marriage as well.
Yeah. And you think about, like, yeah, with businesses, it's people want to do partnerships with someone. And when you're talking to them, they're like, well, is the other person Christian? Well, no, they're not, but we're very much business-minded. It's like, well, there's a lot of moral decisions that are made in businesses. And if you're unequally yoked, there's going to be disagreement. There are going to be all these things. It's not going to be good for you. And you should not be bound together with unbelievers.
There's also the aspect is that God will be guiding the Christian person to do things in the business that might be contrary to what looks good, because God has his purpose and direct that way to go. And it won't make sense to the person, and it won't be out of his heart.
Absolutely. Yep. It's because you're being governed by the Spirit, right? Yeah. They're not. They're being governed by the world, the prince of the power of the air. Mm-hmm. There's a direct conflict of interests, a direct conflict in how to be stewards of the resources in which you've been given, a direct different kingdom building principles, because they're the kingdom of the world, you're the kingdom of God. And so it's really important to take those things in mind. Matthew 7:21, he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Is this God's sovereign will or commanded will? Okay. This is, yeah, his commanded will. Philippians 1:6, he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. Or Christ Jesus, sorry.
Sovereign will,
yes. And how encouraging is that? That he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Man, it's so encouraging. You can't mess it up. He's going to... Guys, if you're in Christ, he's going to continue to sanctify you. So just work with him. Don't go against him, because you're going to be worked overtime. He's a good father. So just heed to his discipline. Okay, Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Is this his sovereign will or commanded will?
Sovereign
will. Absolutely. This is his sovereign will.
And who is that speaking to?
The Jews.
Good job. Where are the Jews?
Wait, my mug isn't right.
They're not right. It's like always funny how they don't include what happens right after this verse. Like, and we can deduce from the New Testament, though, that God does have good plans for you in your life, too. And that he does, in fact, know the plans he has for you. So, yes. There's something that the textbook here and my teaching notes, because they do give me those, they did want us to talk about God's will of desire. And God's will of desire is consistent with his sovereign will, but is not always fulfilled. And so we see passages like Matthew 23:37, where it says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together, the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling. So see, God is, there's a will of desire also we see in Scripture, where God is wanting Israel, he's wanting Jerusalem. He says, I would have often gathered your children together the way the hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling. That they did not come to him because they were unwilling. And so we see a will of desire that is also seen in Scripture. And how it does not work in contrary to God's commanded will or sovereign will. It works in accordance with all those things. We also see that God desires all men to be saved, but not all will be saved. We see this in passages like 1 Timothy 2:3-4. So in your principles of like, where does this fit among God's will, do understand there is God's will of desire that he has.
Two would be represented there, his sovereign will and...
Yes.
Sorry, I keep having to translate because I learned each of these by a different name.
Yeah, yeah.
So I learned them decretive,
yep.
Prescriptive, and permissive.
Yep.
So the commanded will is throwing me off because I'm like, that seems like it fits with decretive. I'm like, no, swap that.
Yeah, yeah. And that's just where, yeah, probably the book, I like probably simplifying where commanded and sovereign will and the nature of kind God's will of desire. But yeah, so just highlight that real quick. I don't want to go down that rabbit trail though for a ways, because you can go down that one a long ways. We will not venture down there right now. Okay, so let's then talk about Our response to God's will. So how are we to respond to God's will from Proverbs 3, 5 through 6?
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your path.
Okay. How many of you guys quote this verse to yourself weekly? Probably weekly. Whenever I'm coming to a place where I know I have to be reliant upon the Lord in faith, this verse comes to my heart all the time. That, how am I supposed to respond to God's will? I'm supposed to trust him with all my heart, and I'm not supposed to lean upon my own understanding. 1 Peter 4:19, how are we to respond to God's sovereign will?
Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good.
So we are to entrust our souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. And this is in what context?
Suffering. For Christ's sake.
This is suffering for Christ's sake. And so it's really important to take in mind that following God's will is hard. It is hard to do because I like to talk about, like, you're walking upstream. Going downstream is easy. You can jump on the floaty and you can just coast. Walking upstream, you are slipping. It is hard. It is not fun to do. But this is the course that God has called us to do. Narrow is the way that leads life, and narrow and hard is the way. It's not the easy way.
It's the only way forward, though.
Yeah.
It's the only way out.
And it's the only way of life.
Yeah. Kathleen and Joy were on a really bad hike one time.
Yeah.
And it was supposed to be good, it wasn't, and they had to go up this one hill and they had to grab onto bushes that were thorny and miserable, and they were carrying their little kids. Mm-hmm. It was just bad, but it was the only way out.
Yeah. I always hate it when I put myself in those situations as a parent, but yeah, like, it is the only way out. And something that we have to understand, that God's commanded will is the only thing that's good for our lives. Like, what God has commanded is good. Christ said he came to give life and to give it what?
Abundantly.
More abundantly. That's what he comes to give. You guys need to realize that everything else the world has to offer is fake. It's fake. It cannot bring life. It promises life, but it doesn't. God's commanded will, when we walk in it, it brings about this abundance of life. It brings about this flourishingness. But it's hard. It's hard to walk in that. In James 4:13 through 15, what do we see from there and how we respond to God's will?
We should submit all of our plans to God.
Yes, we should absolutely submit all our plans to him. Go and turn over to that passage, actually. It says this: come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such town, spend a year there, and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. And what is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. So we need to be discerning and say, if the Lord wills, we will do this or that. We need to entrust all things to him. This is what we are called to do. This is part of our response that we are to have in accordance to God's sovereign will and the things in which he's laying out amongst us. So how should we respond to his commanded will? According to Ephesians 5:17.
Do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is.
Okay, do not be foolish. So, but understand what his will is. That means know it. That means study the word. Deuteronomy 29:29. How should we respond to God's command and will from Deuteronomy 29:29?
The secret things belong to the Lord, our God. But things that are revealed belong to us, to our children forever, that we may do all the words of his law.
Yeah, and we may do... Yeah, that we may do all the words of his law, that we may observe all the words of his law. So what are you commanded to do? Don't be foolish. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Do his commands. Also Deuteronomy 11:1. Keep his charge, his statutes, his ordinances, and his commandments. This is what we are called to do as believers. We are called to walk in his commanded will. This is what you're called to do today here. This is what you're called to do once you get home. God instructs, we obey. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in justice, and he teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are loving kindness and truth to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. So it's really important to understand that what our response needs to be is one of obedience, as we talked about last week. We need to be continually obeying and walking in his commands. We need to be continually trusting his sovereign will and not worrying and being anxious about what tomorrow brings. We need to lay ourselves at the feet of our wonderful Creator, and like a maidservant with her mistress, or like a servant with their Lord, we need to submit to what he has for us and walk in the commands in which he gives. So we see guidance. So in guidance, how do I discern where God is leading me? Now this is kind of where we start to get more practical and start engaging. Okay, how do I discern where God is leading me? Because of his great love, God is predestined, called, justified, and will glorify all believers. He also guides us. So guidance is God's active roles in our lives in accomplishing his purposes. So, and underneath one, we see lead, that God is a shepherd. He bears and carries us. And what do we see in Psalm 78:52?
Then he led out his people like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock.
Yes. So even how do I discern how God is leading me? Well, you need to know that God does lead. First off, that he is one who does not leave you on your own. He is a good shepherd who does watch over you. And so there's sometimes people wonder if the pastors here actually shepherd, right? At times they're like, do they actually know what's going on in the church? And sometimes I talk to people and they're like, did you know? And we're like, yeah, I did know. Or is this going on? Yeah, this is going on. Oh, so you are keeping a pulse on things. It's like, yes. If earthly shepherds are doing that, and we're sinful beings who are saved by God's grace, know that the sovereign Lord of all things, who is your shepherd, who is your father, who is the one who's given his very own life for you, he is paying attention. He is leading. We also see that he is one who guides, to show, to help, to understand. What does Psalm 23:3 say?
He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Absolutely. He's the one who guides us. So he leads us, he bears and carries us. He's the one to show, to help, to understand, and guiding us. We also see in Psalm 73:23 that with your counsel you will guide me. And we see that he also directs to establish or prepare to make straight. What does Psalm 16:9 say?
The mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps.
Okay. Yes. The mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. I think we were talking about this a little bit last night in young adults, kind of this principle of just that, you know, we don't know what's ahead. Someone was asking for prayer because they were trying to figure out the future and what to do next. And we were saying, you know what, like, we maybe don't always know what's next, but we need to just take the things and walk out in the commands that the Lord has directed us. But know that the Lord is the one who is directing our steps. He is the one who is to establish, to prepare, to make straight our ways when we're following him, when we're walking in his ways. He's going to be the one leading us where we need to go. And when we go against him, know that the Lord's going to be disciplining you when you're not walking in accordance with the commands. That he is going to be a loving father who's going to be correcting you and directing you where you should be. So don't go against the Lord's discipline. We see in 2 Thessalonians 3:5, it says, may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the steadfastness of Christ. Okay, so we see this is how we see that God is one who does lead, God is one who does guide, and God is one who does direct. Now let us notice the nature of this guidance. So direct guidance is spoken revelation from God, visions, dreams, prophets, and apostles speaking for God. Okay, now direct guidance was experienced in the Old Testament and in the early New Testamental period of time, but today God's guidance is always indirectly. We have his revealed will, but we no longer get visions, spoken revelation from God. We don't have prophets and apostles speaking for us, okay? That has ceased. That has stopped. That has finished. The word of God is revealed. His special revelation that he's given, it has been accomplished. Now we see that accomplished in the sense that we had the finality of the word of God. Now we do have indirect guidance, which is God's word, conscience or conviction, providence, circumstances controlled by God, wisdom and counsel. So the word of God we see is commanded will, that we are to continue to walk in. This is a form of him guiding us, is through his word. And so we're wondering how we should be speaking with other people. Well, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only that which is building up. Okay? So this is the way in which you're supposed to be speaking with other people. We have conscience or conviction. We see inside Romans that sometimes our convictions can lead us in different ways. So to the Jew, pork was not good. They did not want to continue to eat that even though they came to Christ, even though they believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ in Romans. They still had convictions about, should I be eating this or should I be regarding this day as holy or not that day as holy? Well, they should operate in their convictions because anything not done in faith is sin. See, God does give us convictions and a conscience in how to operate in different things. And for some people, it may be, hey, I can work on this day, and other people might be like, no, I can't. And so God gives us conviction or conscience. We also see that God's indirect guidance and providence, circumstances controlled by God, and he also gives us wisdom and counsel. We see this throughout Proverbs. Don't go against wisdom. You know, if he says don't do this inside Proverbs, then don't do that. He's guiding you through that wisdom and counsel also of other people. If you're ever making a big decision, and a lot of older guys or older ladies are like, don't do this, heed that counsel. Really step in it. God uses counsel to direct us. And there's verses that back that up, that the abundance of counselors, there's victory. And scripture outlines that. So pay attention to the different ways in which God has been guiding us through his word and through these different things. So we see God's guidance in his word in Psalm 119:105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In conviction, we see this with like Paul inside Acts 17:16. His spirit was being provoked within him as he was observing the city full of idols. We see guidance through God's providence in Romans 8:28. God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love God. God's guidance through wisdom, we see in Proverbs 2:1-11. That the four things that wisdom will allow you to discern is righteousness, justice, equity, and every good course. And the result of seeking counsel is wisdom. So it's important to know how God has guided us. So when you're talking to the teenager and them, they're wondering, what should I do? Do this. Just tell them this. Love God with all that's in you. Love your neighbor as yourself, and then do what you want. Love God with everything that's in you. Obey his commands. Walk in his word. Follow what he has commanded you to do, closely observing his laws and his commands. And then do what you want. Because if your heart is set upon the Lord and he's doing that, he's going to guide each one of us in different aspects of life. But he hasn't outlined everything that we know as, well, should I go work at this company or that company? Well, I don't know. Have you lined up the moral principles of both companies? Yeah, they're both good companies. They're both established companies. Is this going against anything that God has commanded you? No, it hasn't. Okay, well then love God and make a decision. Don't worry. Don't fret about it. Trust him and make a decision. Too many times we get bottled up in trying to understand God's sovereign will, but I want to encourage you guys that if you come to the black and white decisions are easy to make. Those are the easy ones. It's like, don't do this, do this. Okay, that's clear. But when it comes to these other areas that are more gray, love the Lord your God with all that is within you, and then just seek to be obedient in what he's called you to, and just make a decision. Just do something. As that book from Kevin DeYoung I referenced, just do something. Don't contemplate and sit upon your hands and start to worry and fuss. That is sinful. But just trust that the Lord is going to work all things according to the counsel of his will, and that you can't go outside his purpose and his plan, and love him and make a decision. And so just want to encourage you guys to walk in those things. Any questions about God's will and guidance before we close out for the day?
There's also a certain amount of trust, total trust, that God is not waiting for you to choose wrong.
Yeah.
Just saying, okay, let's see if you can get this one. And then when you don't get it right, aha, caught you.
Yeah.
He's loving, kind, holding us in his hands, and wants to guide us.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And he helps us learn even through our bad decisions. So sometimes...
Yes.
Sometimes you've outlined everything perfectly, right? And then you make a decision and say you invest that money and you've done all your paperwork, you've thought through, you talked to other people, and then the investment collapses through. And you're like, well, then I must have gone against God. It's like, well, no, like, we live in a fallen world. Things happen. But understand this, that God's still going to use that. And we don't need to be fearful about the decisions that we make. God's going to use it, and he's going to grow you, and he's working it in accordance to his plan. Yeah. Okay, well, let's close out in a word of prayer, and then we'll send you guys out. Dear God, we thank you so much for everything that you are doing in our midst that we can't even perceive all the time, Lord. You are constantly working in our lives, even right now, even in this class, Lord, even through what we learned this morning. And I pray that we may just continually have our heart enlightened to these truths, Lord, that we might just discern how you are working and how you are commanding us, Lord, to what to walk in and how to live. And may we walk in that today. We just thank you for your goodness in giving us your commanded will, Lord, and that we can discern how you are calling us to live. We're not worried about, man, am I going against God's commanded will or not, Lord, because we have the word of God before us. May we walk in that. May we be concerned about what your word says. And may we entrust all things to your sovereign will and your sovereign power over everything. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.